For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Let's keep it going this hour, talking Falcons football. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth hanging out on a Sunday. Not going to be long. So my man Joe Patrick and I are going to enjoy some of that delicious Mercedes-Benz Stadium macaroni and cheese in the press box before kickoff. It is,
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It may be the highlight of my game.
I don't know if there's illegal substances in that macaroni and cheese or what, but I mean, it is the best stuff. And it's funny that you mentioned it, because when you said that, I knew you were going to identify some food there, and I was in my head thinking the macaroni, and everybody's got on their mind, of course.
Listen, I just go and just heap the plate full of macaroni. I mean, it's just I hit my carb limit for the week by 115 on a Sunday. Joe Patrick, he is our Falcons reporter here on 92.9 The Game, kind enough to hang out with us. Joe, you've been at camp. What's different with Raheem Morris in charge?
Oh my gosh! What is not different? It feels like there's just so much that's changed. But I think that, Chris, the obvious answer here, but it really is the biggest change, is obviously a quarterback. And it's not. I think, you know, Kirk Cousins comes in and you kind of expect him to be accurate, more accurate, and just a better passer than Desmond Ridder was or Marcus Mariota was, and that's obviously true. But I think the thing that I'm like kind of gleaning that's been more impactful maybe than anything so far, at least to this point, when you're just kind of preparing, getting the team ready to go, is just the way that Kirk Cousins is able to kind of be an executive for the players, and obviously just like the offense, and, you know, getting them ready. First of all, just meeting with guys, just, you know, sharing time with them to have some shared experiences and building those bonds, and then, you know, putting their heads together and making sure that they've got the plays down and his cadences down and all the little details that go into highly effective offenses. You know, the Kyle Shanahan's, the Sean McVay's, the reason those offenses are the best in the league are not because they're simple and easy to understand and all that. You know, they're very complex and difficult. But when you have a quarterback that can make life easier for everybody else, I think that's when you really find the magic. And I really think that that's what Kirk Cousins is bringing to this team. And I think it exudes the confidence from that exudes not just to the players around him, but even throughout the building, Chris. I just think that, you know, everybody at Flowery Branch is so excited for what's on the horizon for this team and what is a very winnable division. And hopefully they can make their first playoff appearance and have their first playoff game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Since it was built.
All right. You talked about Kirk Cousins. What about Michael Penix? Give me a little analysis there of what you've seen from him.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if the starting quarterback position was determined by, you know, who could throw the tightest spiral and the farthest and just who, you know, what does the ball look like coming out of the hand? Michael Penix would win that job, because, I mean, sometimes it looks like it's coming out of a jugs machine, the way it just kind of spins out of his hand. And that's really fun to watch in and of itself. So I got to say, as somebody who stands around and watches practice, it is fun to watch Penix throw the ball. We got to see him unleash one, really uncork one, not yesterday, but the day before. It was just a place perfectly. Unfortunately, Rondale Moore dropped the pass, but you got to think that if he's going to make those plays, then more often than not, the Falcons are going to be in very happy campers, because they will have very positive games. But there's still so much that he has to learn, and he's still working with the rookies on the side, not the side field, but kind of the second field when they've got the ones going on one field and the twos going on the other. And so I think it's been a very productive time, though, for him. I certainly did not expect for him to take quite as many reps as he's been taking. I thought, you know, Taylor Heinicke would at least get some reps, but he's hardly gotten any reps, which I think is good to see. I think that they're really trying to ramp up Michael Penix, and I think he's going to go into the season with as the clear-cut backup at this point.
Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game. Joe's hanging with us here as we talk a little Falcons football. All right, so Kirk Cousins is not going to play in the preseason. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Dom and I just talked about this a minute ago, Joe. How much do we see Michael Penix through this preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think based off of what we're seeing so far, I would expect him to play the majority of these games because, frankly, like Taylor Heinicke took the first reps that I can remember last night at the very end of the practice where I think he got three reps. And I think one of them was an interception. The other should have been an interception. And, you know, it's Taylor Heinicke. And I got to say, he spoke to us after, and he's one of the best ones to talk to on this team because he's just – he will not, like, kind of be guarded at all. He'll tell you exactly. And somebody asked him, you know, what do you think when the Falcons took, you know, a quarterback and they already signed Kirk Cousins? And he said, oh, I saw the writing on the wall. But I've seen the writing on the wall my whole career, you know. And that's just, so he just takes it in stride. But I really do think that we're going to see probably, like, three quarters of Michael Penix, potentially at least a half, I would say, just based off of the fact that none of these other quarterbacks are getting any reps. And if Kirk Cousins isn't going to play, you know, we'll see how things develop over the next, you know, couple of weeks as they gear up towards it. But it seems like they want to get him as many, many reps as possible.
What do you see Rondell Moore? What's his role in this offense going to be?
Yeah, it's really interesting because when Raheem Morris spoke at owners' meetings, which was right after they had acquired Moore, he kind of pointed him out as a guy that they thought that could be a guy that does a lot of motion and stuff in the underneath where he can kind of catch the ball on drags and whatnot or hitches or screens and then get a lot of yards after the catch, which I'm sure is the plan for him, or I don't think Raheem Morris would have said that if it's not. While Darnell Mooney is the guy who kind of stretches the field, and then you've got Pitts and London who are more your intermediate receivers. But, Rondale Moore's been playing a lot with the twos. Like when they are split, when the team is split up into two fields, Rondale Moore's typically been playing on that second field, and I don't know if that's just to get, again, kind of get him more reps over the course of the camp. But it's been Ray McLeod actually who has kind of grabbed a hold of the third wide receiver role, so to speak. And I do think that he is essentially competing with Rondale Moore for those opportunities. But and I'm sure both of them will play. But right now, it seems like Ray McLeod is the guy that they've really identified as someone who can help them. He's made some big plays already in training camp, obviously catching like a 50-yard touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins a couple days ago. And he's somebody that Ike Hilliard apparently really identified as someone who he'd worked with in the past in Pittsburgh and thought would be a good asset here. And it's looking like it'll be the most expanded receiving role that Ray McLeod has had in his career, at least since he was in Pittsburgh, since he's been primarily used as a special teams player than his other stops.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out here on a Sunday with our guy, Joe Patrick. He's been at Falcons training camp all week, and we get Joe's insight on what he has seen. Nate Landman, he played really well last year. What's this rotation look like at linebacker with Troy Anderson now coming back from an injury?
Yeah, this is also a really interesting dynamic that's developing with this Falcons team. And on this defense, I think there's a lot of questions in general as to how Jimmy Lake's going to scheme this thing up and how they're going to use some of these players, where at the linebacker position, I think it's the perfect example of a spot where, you know, typically nowadays NFL teams are really just running two linebackers for the most part, at least the kind of traditional linebackers like we see with Nate Landman and Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson. And right now it seems like Nate Landman is kind of, I guess you would say he's above Troy Anderson in the depth chart. When the ones go out on defense, it's typically been Landman and Ellis, which obviously they had a great rapport last year. And Nate Landman was a very key figure in leading the Falcons to being the number one rated run defense by Pro Football Focus last year over the course of the season, which I don't think anybody expected. And, you know, he really showed his value in those roles and those circumstances. So he's going to be the guy that is in the game on most first downs, probably most second downs, But I do think that, you know, Jimmy Lake is scheming this thing up so that he can use some of these weapons like Troy Anderson and some of the defensive linemen, like, or, you know, outside linebackers like Arnold Ebiketie and Braylon Trice, so that they can put them in the best positions possible to succeed, and kind of, and more so kind of keep them out of the kind of positions where they tend to struggle. So with Troy Anderson, that's in the run game. Same with Arnold Ebiketie, that's also in the run game. And we can talk more about the pass rushers a little bit later, maybe. But I do think that just generally speaking, there is a huge role for Nate Landman in this defense because of the value that he showed that he could provide last year.
Joe, Dom and I talked a few minutes ago about this new kickoff rule that's in place. Let me get your thoughts on it. We heard the cuts from Avery Williams and him talking about it. What do you think the return strategy will be for the Falcons? How will they choose to play this?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it's one of the most fascinating things to watch, especially even in the preseason. I've never been more interested to watch kickoffs in preseason, because not just with the way that it's going to look, but obviously the strategy that gets implemented by these guys. And we haven't been able to talk to Marquise Williams yet. I am kind of humored by how I think the secrecy is around special teams coaches around the league regarding this play, because I have to imagine that special teams coaches, there's a bit of a fraternity there, and they probably share some ideas, over the course of off seasons. They, you know, get together and meetings or phone calls or whatnot and talk about some of this stuff. But I can't imagine that anybody is leaking anything about how they're going to handle some of these kickoff returns, because I think it has the potential to be, you know, a real game changer. And I mean that in the truest sense. Like, it could swing the tenor of any given game if you get one of these returns. We've seen that happen with Cordarrelle Patterson and the Falcons plenty. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of funny because I think Cordarrelle Patterson, that type of returner, could be the kind that is very, very successful. And obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson's been successful in the previous way that kickoffs were handled. But I think there's an opportunity for like a more powerful running style to be effective, because it feels like to me, and we haven't really seen this play in action yet at full speed and full pads, but it seems to me like there's the potential for a guy to like break an arm tackle and then find himself with green grass to run into. And, you know, Tyler Allgeier was part of a group of players who were getting reps on kickoff return when the Falcons have just been in the preliminary stages of scrimmaging it in these first couple practices. Now, I don't think that he's not one of the primary guys. The primary guys have been, they've been back there with two returners, with Ray McLeod and Avery Williams. But, you know, they had a group of about eight or nine guys that were pairing up. So maybe they were just experimenting with some bodies. But I wouldn't be surprised, especially considering Tyler Allgeier should generally be pretty rested, considering we expect to see Bijan Robinson getting the majority of the workload out of the backfield. Maybe that's a way the team could utilize him. So I think there's still just a ton of unknowns. And it's funny talking to Avery. I asked him yesterday if he thinks that, you know, this new kickoff rule kind of isn't advantageous for the return team, which is my presumption. He wasn't so sure about it, but I think it's evident that he said, you know, the guy who's doing the kickoffs, Bradley Pinion, he thinks it's a huge advantage for the return team. So I do think it will be an advantage for these guys. And I think we're going to see more kickoff returns than we've ever seen in NFL history. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, I think it's going to make the game a lot more exciting and just create a different dynamic.
Joe, I don't think there's a more exciting play in football than a kickoff or a punt, for that matter, that gets a big return or a return for a touchdown. I'm just glad that the NFL is choosing to keep this as a part of the game, because, you know, over the last, what, 5 to 7, 8 years, it felt like the NFL was trying to figure out how to get rid of it.
Yeah. And you got to give the NFL credit for being willing to experiment as much as they have. And I think it's one of the main reasons why the sport has just not even maintained its dominance in American culture, but really just exploded. It continues to grow in market share. And it's because they're willing to change the rules of the game that makes it for a better spectacle, a better viewing experience. And you compare it to a sport like baseball that unfortunately has really kind of dragged its feet in a lot of respects. And I'm honestly, I consider myself like a traditionalist with a lot of these things. But when you look at something like implementing the pitch clock and how much sooner that could have been implemented, that I think really has just benefited baseball so much, and I'm sure the advertisers as well, that, you know, you got to give the NFL credit for experimenting and being willing to you know, open themselves up. And I'm sure that, you know, they'll go with it this season. Avery kind of joked that, you know, maybe they'll even change the rules midseason and we're going to roll with it, but they're not going to hesitate on, you know, just making whatever adjustments they feel is needed. Obviously to protect the health and safety of the players, which has obviously been an issue with the kickoff return, but also just to make the game more fun and exciting.
Bradley Pinion still going to be the guy to handle kickoffs?
By all accounts, he will be. We haven't gotten a lot into it yet in terms of the special teams work. But, yeah, it does seem like he will continue to be the guy who does the kickoffs.
All right, let's talk about that corner position opposite A.J. Terrell. That's my biggest question mark right now. Is that your biggest question mark about this team?
It's one of them. It's that and the pass rush, which was obviously not addressed to the extent that a lot of fans wanted in the draft. But I think that they have an approach there. I think they're going to essentially use Arnold Ebiketie as kind of the same role he had last year and just hope that he can continue to improve and excel and continue to apply pressure on quarterbacks. And they're just going to kind of use personnel and deploy it in strategic opportunities as opposed to, like, getting a guy, just a monster out there who can play all three downs and rush the passer and stop the run and do all that. But I think opposite A.J. Terrell, it's also a really interesting situation developing where you've got an experienced guy in Mike Hughes, and a guy who was Mike Hughes is a former first-round pick, let's not forget, kind of battling with a guy like Clark Phillips, who had an interception yesterday at second-year high school, the first turnover by the defense so far in practice, which I think benefits it's conducive to offensive success when you're not practicing in pads, in my opinion. So good to see him come down with that, and I think that those are the kinds of plays that ultimately will win him the job, but right now it's Mike Hughes' job to lose. And, you know, Mike Hughes last year was deployed almost exclusively as a slot corner, and we'll see if he has more success on the outside where, frankly, his past performance has indicated he does have more success.
Is that other cornerback starter on the roster right now?
Yes, as of right now, but I would not be surprised to see this team actually make a move midseason to make a trade, to add a player, whether that be a corner or potentially a pass rusher. We saw them actually try very hard to push for Montez Sweat last year, where there was reportedly a deal agreed between the Falcons and the Washington that he was getting traded from until the Bears swooped in and just basically had a better pick to offer the Commanders and the Falcons did, so the Bears got him. But that to me showed that Terry Fontenot is not going to be shy in terms of making a move if he feels like the team needs it, because I think this team absolutely sees themselves in like a winning window where they feel like they've got, especially on offense, a team that's good enough to win a championship, and they just got to make sure their defense can kind of be up to par as much as they can be to give the offense a chance to succeed.
Joe Patrick, you can hear him all week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's back at Falcons training camp all week long. Joe, appreciate the time. As always, we'll look forward to catching up with you again, man. See you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.